Welcome. This is Bobby Laporte, CEO at Bobby Laporte & Associates and host of the Executive Aid Station. In today's competitive and dynamic executive marketplace, we believe that leadership is an endurance event, and we are here to provide the support that today's leaders need. Our show guests are executives who have successfully achieved a balanced life, as well as experts in fitness, health and wellness, and personal leadership. People who could share their strategies for living and leading mindfully and gaining a competitive edge in the workplace. Today, my very special guest is James Girard, who is a transformational massage therapist specializing in deep tissue and myofascial massage. James is my friend, my massage therapist, and my life saver. You know, it takes a lot to keep this 60-plus-year-old body training and racing, and it wouldn't be possible without James. He keeps me in the game. So some background on James. He has been formally trained in massage therapy at the National Holistic Institute. His career path has taken him on a tour of disciplines, from service to pre-chiropractic study in biological sciences to a bachelor's degree in psychology, all of which has shaped his understanding of health and wellness. In 2015, James opened his own studio, James Girard Bodyworks, and enjoys a successful and thriving private practice. So, James, welcome to the Executive Aid Station.
Thank you, Bobby. Welcome. I'm glad to be here.
And I'm very excited to have you. And as I said, you are a friend as well, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. I'm honored.
So I want to start with talking about how you got into this work, because clearly you have a passion for what you do, and it shows in the healing quality of your work. I and many others have benefited from that. When did you first kind of realize that this was your career path? How did you discover that?
I was in a really transformational, pivotal period of my life. I was recovering from the death of my partner to cancer. I was working a job that I was not particularly totally satisfied with. I was 40. I was slightly overweight. And I was in a therapy session with my therapist and was sort of just being very animated as I am and talking and gesticulating with my hands as I do. And just talking about how frustrating it was to not really have found my path and to not really understood what it was that I was wanting to do. You know, I was frustrated with how many complicated options there seemed to be in our world and how many, you know, too many choices. And I just, you know, was talking about the family stories about my mom, who has told me, you know, since she was 18, hey, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. So she went off to school and became a teacher, and she was happy. And my dad, who, you know, at 16 had his first physics class and decided he wanted to be an engineer, and he went to Caltech and was an engineer for 38 years. And I have just never, and I trailed off and was sitting there staring at my hands. And after a fairly awkward 30-second pause, my therapist turned to me and said, so what just happened? And I just continuing to stare at my hands said, some part of me way back at the back of my brain that is just really tired of hearing this story over and over again, that part just screamed liar at me. And it was pretty startling, but I realized that I've always known what it was that I was supposed to do. I've always supposed to have been part of people's healing process. I was always supposed to be putting my hands on people to accompany them through their healing. And so I, within a fairly short period of time, made appointments at several different massage schools and just to go in and check them out. And I walked into one of them and realized it just felt like home. And it started my path. This entire period, I had been telling myself things like, massage therapy is not a real job, and, you know, that's not a real career. You couldn't support a family, let alone yourself. And, you know, it doesn't really have the prestige that you want. And, you know, if you do something that you love this much and you get paid for it, it cheapens it. And these were all stories that were part of this narrative from keeping me from doing this path. And I realized not a single one of them was true. First of all, I'm making more money than I've ever made in my life. I'm happier than I've ever been. And that people show me their appreciation for this gift that I bring to them. is a way that we get to share real healing. And so I, you know, made the shift, and I have never looked back.
So you found your calling.
Yes.
And it's interesting. I'm guessing that many of our listeners probably at some point in their career have, you know, faced similar questions. I know many of the executives I work with at certain some point in their life, is this really what I'm meant to do? Is this really what's
right.
going to make me happy? And so that reflection and, you know, looking at what's really important to you and putting things in perspective and trying to find out what is that thing, right, that allows
right.
you to do what you like to do and what you're good at
right.
and make a living at it, right?
Exactly.
You know, I would say you're one of the fortunate people that has found that intersection, which is great because for many people that doesn't happen at all in their
right.
careers, or sometimes it doesn't happen later in life. So,
right.
So I'm happy you found that calling.
Thank you. Me too. Me too.
So tell me about, what would you describe as your particular style of body work, right? Because I know that you practice lots of different types of body work and there's many types out there.
Right.
So how would you describe what you focus on and why?
I mean, as far as like different modalities that I draw from and the levels of things that I've been formally taught, I draw pretty heavily from what we refer to as deep Swedish and deep tissue, a lot of myofascial release and shiatsu, Thai style, and acupressure. So drawing from both Eastern and Western modalities, as far as finding a holistic balance, recognizing that sometimes there's you know, things throughout the body that need to be addressed that don't necessarily automatically or intuitively link up, but that can be part of the underlying system as well. A lot of what I do is just going in and finding out, okay, you know, what is it that you're experiencing and what would you like to be different? And so it's also dealing with the person on a very holistic and individual level.
Which is one of the things I really love and appreciate about your practice is that you don't sort of take a one-size-fits-all and that you get to know your clients and you bring all the different disciplines that we talked about in the introduction. I mean, not just the body work, but your background in psychology
right.
and understanding people's emotions. And you're really able, at least in my experience, kind of get behind the, oh, it's this that hurts or it's that's where the issue is, and really try and figure out, well, maybe it's something else. And I think that's
right.
one of the really unique and transformational aspects of your work that is beneficial to so many people.
Thank you. One of the things I was going to add is also the part where it's part of what makes it fun is then also being able to bring in all of those additional pieces, including, you know, my own practice with yoga, my studies with Pilates, and, you know, trying different stretches and just being willing and able to play in my work. There's a level of enjoyment that comes from being able to look at a client in the eye and say, okay, I'm going to try something I've never tried before.
Right.
Take a deep breath and let's see what this works. And that's achieving that level of both comfort in my work and sort of a mastery of the basic skills has also been a really, really big piece as well.
And I think that because you have your own personal practice, right, so you've tried different things, but
right.
I think many other practitioners would hesitate to do that, or they would not have a welcoming response to something like that if they didn't trust you, right? So
right.
you have to really kind of strip down some of the pretenses and really build that trusting relationship with clients. You know, otherwise, you can't say to them, "I let's try this." Other people say, no, I just want like the basic, you know, I just want you to do these things. And so, again,
right.
I think that's one of the things that makes your work so leading edge and so different and has so many benefits.
Thank you.
So one of the questions that I wanted to ask you was, what are some of the more surprising benefits of massage therapy?
You know, as far as some of the benefits that have actually been studied, you know, things like helping migraines, things like reducing PMS, things like better sleep, that would make, you know, a lot of sense from a physiological standpoint, and then also things like helping ease some of the more painful and irritating side effects from like cancer and chemotherapy. Those can definitely be more than just, oh, I have this achy muscle, and like, oh, I didn't expect that to be a shift. One of the other things that I found that a lot of my clients report is just some of the more energetic emotional effects that they've had. Essentially, they feel like they're nicer people. they're more patient, they're a little kinder, they're more aware of how they're walking through the world and how they're interacting with others and those kinds of impacts. And I chalk it up to having been able to remove some of those just really fatiguing and irritating, you know, that nagging crick in your neck or, you know, that pain in your knee when you walk. When that's gone, that energy has the ability to go someplace else, including just maybe spending more time with your family or enjoying a cocktail with your best friend.
Did that surprise you when you started this practice that there were these kind of emotional self-awareness and emotional and well-being benefits that came with addressing physical issues?
Yes, it definitely did. I had always sort of had the tie-in between the physical and the emotional, the physical and the spiritual, the physical and the psychological. There's a lot of interweaving, but I hadn't had it. I didn't expect it to be quite so. How do I put this? I didn't expect it to be quite so direct, and that as many people would be sharing with me how it's affected them above and beyond just physically feeling better.
Right.
I think there's something to be said about recognizing how much of a toll not taking care of ourselves on a physical level then also takes a toll on us psychologically and emotionally as well.
Right, the mind-body connection.
Exactly.
So powerful.
Absolutely.
You know, that I feel strongly about.
Absolutely.
One of the things that you, in some of the notes that we talked about in advance of this recording, you said there's something powerful and necessary to our health and well-being that involves being touched with care and compassion. And I think that's one of the things that what you're referring to here is that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's something about our culture too that we're very touch averse and we're very touch deprived because of it. I mean, you know, we all want good touch. And we definitely want to avoid bad touch, and I think we've just sort of become afraid of touch and connection through that physical level. And I think it's something that may be shifting, and I'm certainly hoping that I'm helping in some small way, reminding us that you know, being with someone that you care about in whatever capacity, and just being able to touch each other in good and supportive ways is really powerful.
So I want to ask you about some of the sort of the risks that we have now in this very sedentary environment that we live in, right? Mm-hmm. So, because the nature of work today is definitely sedentary, and there's some studies that suggest that sitting in a chair all day is bad for your health. Like, I've been in a chair all day in my office today, and I definitely tested that. And it's, you know, we hear sitting is the new smoking. So is that true? And what can we do to offset that?
Well, from all of the studies that I've read, things like, you know, blood pressure raising and digestive systems not processing as well and food, you know, nutrient absorption, all of these things that happen when we sit, especially when we sit in a chair, it seems to be certainly true and having an effect. And aside from that, there's just the, you know, the obesity epidemic that we're experiencing in this country. And I think just a fatigue epidemic. One of the things that has been also a surprising piece for me in my work, but it certainly has fed my beliefs that the body wants to move. The body does not want to be sitting still. One of the more amusing comments that I get from people who sit in their office all day is, you know, they look at me and I'm on my feet and I'm doing this very physical work, and they look at me and think, I sit down all day and I come home and I'm tired. You must be exhausted. And I start to laugh because the truth is at the end of my workday, I usually have to go for a gym, you know, go to the gym or go for a long walk or do something to burn off all the excess energy that I've generated from moving my body all day long. I come home the exact opposite of tired.
Right. It's energizing for you.
It is. It is. And so I would like to see more opportunities for people to move at work, you know, whether it's something that is structured into their workday on a corporate level or just on a personal basis. You know, I think I talked to you about, you know, the advent of the standing desk, which is better, but you're still just standing there. And, you know, I put it out there to all the creative people to develop the treadmill desk, because I think it would be great to have somebody have to walk and be, you know, that motion of walking be what powers their computer monitor. And as soon as they stop, you know, it goes blank. But that's just because, you know, I really want people to move more than they're doing. It can be really, really... It's one of those, you know, there was an old ad, a commercial, you know, body in motion stays in motion, and
right.
A body at rest stays at rest. And I find that even just getting people up and out of their chair initially takes a lot of energy because of this perception that it's going to be uncomfortable. And here's the thing, it might be. But even just getting up and out of your chair a couple of times a day and doing some basic stretches or, you know, walking around the building for 2 minutes
right.
can have untold benefits.
So those are some of the, I was going to ask you about some tips you may have for people. So
mm-hmm.
if you're at your, people generally may be moving to like a meet, but they go from their office to like a meeting and then to another meeting, right? So
right.
I think you had suggested they almost have to be, you had talked about queuing, like getting some reminder or something that helps
right.
you to remember it's time to do something. So it
right.
might just be, like you said, getting up and taking a call, standing up, or doing a quick stretch, or
mm-hmm.
you know, walking around the block, or any other suggestions that you have for our listeners that have been successful and beneficial for your clients that you can share.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the queuing part is really important because so often our best intentions are, oh, I'm going to do this thing that's different today. But because it's different, it's not part of our routine. And so we forget that we were going to do that thing that was different that day.
Right.
And so it's really important to help set ourselves up for success with those cues and with those reminders that can remind us in the moment, oh, that's right, getting out of my routine, I was supposed to, you know, stand up and stretch today. A common cue that I've shared with people who want to cut back on their coffee consumption is to remember to put the coffee pot on the top shelf, not back in the pot. And when they go to reach for the, oh, that's right. Why is the coffee pot up here? That's right, because I was supposed to not be drinking coffee this morning.
That's the cue, right?
Exactly. It's just something that takes you out of the normalcy of it. As far as, you know, other things like if you have, you know, we talked about standing up during a phone call or even maybe doing some stretches. If you're on a, I've had phone meetings where, you know, I wasn't really expected to interact much. It was more informational. And I've stood up and started doing some stretching. But it took the reminder for me that I also put on my computer, which was, you know, saying, I had this little pop-up that started 5 minutes after the meeting started that said, yeah, now get up and stretch. Oh, that's right. I don't have to sit here in my comfy office chair. I can actually get up and do something.
Right. And even those small little interventions during the day, right, can have a multiplier effect, can be very beneficial.
Absolutely. I have found it's frequently the small steps during the course of the day that we take, you know, the little regular itty-bitty incremental steps over time end up having the biggest effect of all. You know, it's that slow and steady piece that we do for ourselves. The example that I have from my own life was in that space, and, you know, I had just started massage school and I was still working an office job, and I realized just how tight my own body had become, and I have always been really physical, and so I finally got through the process of setting up my own cues and started stretching just a couple of minutes, about two or three times a day. And initially my you know, I was just doing a nice hamstring stretch, and I think I got my hands all the way down to my knees. And I was like, okay, that's as far as it's going to go right now. And in doing it 3-4 times a day, 2 minutes at a time, max maybe, within about 3 weeks, my hands were down pretty much flat on my feet. You know, I was far more comfortable in that position, and my low back pain was gone. And that, to me, was just this really powerful, wow, you know, look at the progress that I've made from doing what just felt like this really small, simple thing.
Right. And but it's a consistency with it, too, right? So it's simple steps, but it's being consistent with it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's sort of the formula. But we can all do it. So your mm-hmm. cueing concept and the reminders are really helpful. So I want to switch gears a little bit and
sure.
ask you a question about past injuries. So if someone's had an injury while it's healed, it can continue to cause stress and tension, right? So what can we do about that?
Well, as far as old injury stuff, sometimes what we consider healed isn't necessarily 100% completely healed, especially when we're talking about any type of muscular or fascial injury. Fascia is the connective tissue that binds all of that stuff together.
Right.
And when it's damaged, it can get into sort of an irregular pattern. And in those irregularity patterns, there's not the freedom of motion through the muscle or through the joint that you would normally experience, and then we'll actually experience that as discomfort or even pain. So one of the things that I would do for clients in there, in that particular situation, is to, you know, work deeply to try and find where the specific holding patterns are, is usually how I refer to those, the places where we've gotten into some hasn't completely fully released. And then the other option is, or the other thing that can actually happen is more what we'll call compensation patterns, which are things that we've done to our body while we're injured, so that you know, in order to protect the area that's hurting, we'll take more of a burden on another part of the body, and then, you know, when we actually heal, we forget that we don't have to continue to do that. So one of the examples that I'll share with clients is, you know, you go out and you sprain your right ankle, and so for, you know, the period, you're walking funny. You're not, you know, you're limping and your gait's off, and so your left knee starts to hurt because it's carrying more weight.
Right.
And then because the left knee is starting to hurt, the right hip starts to sort of act up, and pretty soon, you know, your left shoulder is hurting because you sprained your right ankle, and it
it's
just
all
connected. Travel for the, exactly. And so sometimes when somebody
why
comes in and says,
"Why does it hurt when it's my ankle?" Well, it's
exactly,
all
exactly. And so I'm looking at somebody whose right, you know, whose neck is hurting or their right shoulder is hurting, but you know, really what we're doing is traveling, you know, tracing the patterns back through the body to find out where the point of origin was, because that's usually everything that needs to be unwound.
Right. Right, and I've certainly experienced that. But you don't think
I guess
that's
we
gonna be,
have.
Yeah, we have. But you don't think that's going to be the case. But I think it really—it's being able to ask that second and third question.
Exactly.
To get to the source of where the issue is, right? That
exactly
makes it all that more effective.
Right. It's recognizing that sometimes it is exactly right up on the surface, just like it looks like, and then sometimes, and actually in my experience more often, it runs a lot deeper, and that it's something that you want to be able to sort of just start an inquiry over.
I wanted to ask you also about the connection of how emotional or psychological trauma affects
mm-hmm.
our bodies. I mean, there's a lot of research and work done around that, but
right.
How does, you know, with your clients, how, you know, have you seen that? I mean, how does it affect us, and how do we deal with that?
It, you know, yes, I have definitely had actually a great deal of work working with clients in various forms of trauma, and one of the first pieces that's important to recognize is that all of us, on some level or another, are carrying around some scars of trauma, that we may not just even be aware of. Most of us tend to think of trauma as, you know, the wounded warrior out of combat, or, you know, a childhood that's been filled with horrific abuse. And those are definitely traumatic, and I don't mean to diminish those. But trauma is an experience that we have that overwhelms us on a psychological and emotional and a physical basis, a place that we have no context to put whatever it is that's just happened. And in that overwhelm, parts of us get stuck in that place. And we continue to move through the world with those places of ourselves that are stuck. One of the examples that I talk about is, you know, just that small child who is facing a parent who has previously always been loving and supportive, and in the moment they've discovered something terrible, and they're in a rage, they're angry, and this child has never seen anger before. And so in this vulnerability of, you know, physically they're smaller, emotionally they don't have any place to put what is this rejection that I'm experiencing, parts of us can get stuck in that place. The example that I shared with you was my own. It was my dad, you know, discovering that I was playing with a lighter and wood furniture, and he was very rightfully angry, but, you know, I didn't understand what it was all about. And it led, in my particular case, with this sense of shame and fear and a lack of trust over male authority that sort of went through my life in so many respects. And you know, made certain situations a little difficult, so that, you know, finally addressing it allowed me to somehow, you know, befriend that energy as opposed to having it be locked down and locked away where I couldn't access it.
How do you diagnose, but how do you discover that?
Sometimes
you have to have a very trusting relationship with the clients, but I mean, how?
Absolutely.
When do you go there, I guess, is what I'm
right.
Asking.
You know,
Exactly.
That's a dance that I still freely admit that I am discovering. I drop the seeds of being able to access what I'll refer to as that deeper work with almost all of my clients on some level. I mean, some of it's the materials that are around my office. You know, some of it is just simply the conversations that we're having. I'm amazed at how many people open up into really straightforward statements of, you know, oh, well, you know, my dad and I had this relationship here, or this happened with my mom at this age, or I'm actually still grieving the death of my grandmother, you know, things along those lines. And it's kind of amazing to me how those sort of open up when you start the inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of it is that from my standpoint, the body tells me stories. There are places that we hold different emotional holdings. There are different things that the body can sort of cue me into. It won't tell me the details, but it will tell me, hey, here's a place for an inquiry. Whether it's something, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
That sometimes the body will give you a cue, right?
Exactly.
Where,
you know,
where you might want to.
Exactly. Where the, you know, sometimes the body will tell me those stories, and different emotional holdings will happen in different places. One of the more surprising ones when I'm working with people who are in grief, almost invariably their hips and their glutes are super, super tight. When it's, you know, things like, you know, a chronic shoulder injury, one of the stories is that, you know, our hands and our shoulders and our arms are about our creativity and what we're putting out in the world. And so when there's chronic injury, frequently there's something telling me that either you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing creatively, or you're doing something and you're not feeling good about it. You know, it's either the ways that we're either putting ourselves too far out there or holding ourselves back. And it's about asking the questions.
It's just fascinating. It's just really, it's so much deeper, I think, than most people feel. And I just really, I appreciate you sharing all this with me. I appreciate your experience and your insight. And I'm sure that a lot of what we've covered today will be new and interesting and different for the people who are listening. So I want to thank you for being our guest today. Before we finish up, though, I wanted to ask you about what's next for you. So I know you're always learning and trying new things. What are you learning? What are you working on now?
Thank you. I continue my studies in this work and continue to try and deepen my own abilities and ability to sort of meet my clients where they are, which is always a really important piece. I'm starting to do some more work, working with other people, bringing this work into various types of retreat settings so that it's very sort of on-site and in-house, and we can dive into a deeper group way of addressing these things that can actually be really powerful. And I may actually start doing some retreats and teachings of this work on my own at some point in the near future. It's all pretty exciting and still developing. So that's I'm always good
right.
with the journey is sort of where I'm going, and we'll see where I end up.
Well, it's exciting, and I would I definitely appreciate the journey, and I would definitely encourage you to do more in all of those things that you mentioned.
Thank you.
So how can people stay in touch with you and book a massage if they'd like
mm-hmm.
to?
Well, the best way to contact me is through my website, which is, as you mentioned, it's James Gerard Body Works with an S at the end and all one word, .com. You can sign up for my mailing list, and I'm sending out an email newsletter, hopefully on about a monthly basis, continuing with updates and expanses in my practice that I'm looking at. And they can also then schedule directly from the website to book an appointment with me.
Perfect. And this, we'll make sure this information is on the it'll be on the website and wherever we post this as well. So
perfect.
Well, listen, again, James, it's really been a pleasure having you on the Executive Aid Station today. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I appreciate all your valuable insight and advice for our listeners. I know I've personally benefited
Thank you,
many times over from your work, and so I hope others will take advantage of that as well. So I want to thank you for your time, and also to our listeners. Thank you for joining us today. That's it for today's show. Please visit our website, www.bobbylaporte.com, and sign up for our Executive Aid Station updates. I look forward to sharing our next episode of the Executive Aid Station soon, so stay tuned.